Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz win streak ends at 5 in a great game against the Miami Heat. Ron Boone and I will break it down as the Heat surge in the fourth quarter to knock the Jazz win streak to the Wabegons. It's all coming up on Postcast. Postcast is brought to you by the store at 6200 South and 20th East, also located at the Gateway, right next to the Children's Museum, and also the new one at 900 South and 100 West. If you have any last-minute holiday shoppings, get it done at the store. Ron Boone joins us. The chat rooms are open for you. We'd love to get your comments on this one. Ron, what's your thoughts on this one?
Well, I thought I enjoyed the ball game, first of all, and I thought the Jazz had an excellent chance to win it. The Heat, excellent fourth quarter, outscoring the Jazz 31-23, and they had a great shooting percentage there as the Jazz faltered for the most part. I thought the aggressive defense, especially late in the fourth quarter, by really extending their defense, trapping Donovan, kept Donovan from, as you mentioned, Donovan's a very good closer, and they kept him from closing for the most part.
The Heat defense, they just came out and kind of assaulted the Jazz there to open the fourth quarter with that. Did the Jazz react all right to that, or was that just the difference between Miami having a little bit depth and a little bit more kind of firepower to throw at the Jazz, as the Jazz just didn't have enough guys?
But when you do something like that, you must get the ball, and they trap. The next pass should be someone in the middle of the floor, and usually that would be Rudy Gobert. But, you know, Rudy's not a threat from that range, so they play you a little bit different. So next time the Jazz play this team, I'm sure Quinn will have something waiting for the Heat when they decide to extend their defense like that.
The zone defense was a big part of our broadcast. How do you think the Jazz addressed that?
I thought they did very, very well. You see that even the second half, early in the third period, the Heat kind of stayed away from it. You know, they start playing man-to-man defense. Joe Ingles was playing very well and shooting the basketball very well, getting the Jazz into their offense. And then they started to put it on every now and then, and then they got to the point where they just got very, very aggressive. Smart play and very good coaching there by Eric Spoelstra. And you just have to, you know, compliments to the Miami Heat. You have to give them credit for everything they got here tonight.
The one that was really interesting tonight, and we've watched a lot of Heat because I think both of us are kind of intrigued by them and how they play. There's a few things I was really interested in. One is, so they opened the game, and the game plan was kind of, all right, Bam, we need you to make some shots, bring Rudy out, and he couldn't do it. Rudy bothered him too much. Rudy's impact was too much in that. So in the second half, they kind of said, like, Bam, stop that. And then in the fourth quarter, they really went to this whole Nash dribble game. They had Dragic and Tyler Hero. That's not something Jimmy Butler really does. So they didn't have the ball in Butler's hands, and they were running Hero and they were running Dragic on these search dribbles coming out the backside, where Rudy then either has to stay tethered. But the thing they did that was interesting, if I go rewatch it, is what I thought I saw was that Bam would like flip on Rudy and almost pick him. So then Rudy couldn't follow them out to the other side. So it was an interesting little adjustment on how to deal with the Jazz and what you're trying to do with Rudy.
And I think that was, you know, on an individual basis. I didn't think that Spoelstra would say that's what he wanted out of that. I think that search dribble was a pretty good defense by the Jazz, forcing them to keep their dribble alive on the other side of the floor. And then when they saw, okay, the Jazz didn't recover very well, Dragic's got a little layup. He got a little about a 10-foot jumper off of it. Hero got a little runner. And, you know, they just started to make some shots there in that fourth quarter. A couple of players in Hero, Robinson, they wasn't a threat that much until that fourth quarter.
It was interesting. They wanted the Tyler Hero, Donovan Mitchell matchup. We have not seen someone really do that. Eric Spoelstra is known for being a matchup coach. He went right at Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, they did. You know, usually Donovan doesn't have to work that hard defensively and then try to carry the basketball team on the offensive end of the floor. And he just wasn't ready for it. I think that Johnny Bryant and Quinn will get him ready for next time these two teams met. They'll have him ready for that.
Hero, just 19 years of age, first-round draft pick, played 1 year. I will tell you, should I tell my really funny Tyler Hero story? No, it's probably not. I'll probably get me in trouble.
Yeah, you better leave it alone.
Leave that, you know that story?
Yeah, leave that alone.
So my numbers love Tyler Hero. I'd never seen him ever play a college game, and I didn't know anything about him, but my numbers loved him coming out of the draft, and they're turning out to be true. I was surprised when I saw him because I didn't have any idea what he was like as a player. So he was I didn't know what he was. So then I saw him the draft workouts, or not at the Jazz, but just around the draft, and turned out to be about the 14th pick. So he was pretty impressive. One of the questions from Airfare 23, what could have the Jazz done to stop Hero from scoring down the end? He seemed like he was getting the hoop on the Nash dribble quite a bit at the end of the game. I'll jump on this one first, if you don't mind. Adebayo changed what he was doing. So Adebayo was hanging around the rim. So Rudy was really stuck, kind of staying near him. And Hero's shots were all about 8 or 9 footers against a much smaller Donovan Mitchell. And I actually don't know that there's anything else the Jazz really could have done in that circumstance. Rudy's got to stay on Adebayo. When he doesn't, he's going to jam it. I mean, I have to go back and watch it. But I actually don't think there were a lot of, like, mistakes. I think there were just really good plays by Miami.
I totally agree with that. I mean, you have to give Miami some credit for making some adjustments and then those players starting to get hot. Those are some very good shooters over there. They're athletes. They can run the floor. They put the ball on the floor very, very well. And they just didn't do anything until late in the ball game. So it wasn't a lot what the Jazz were to the point where they just couldn't handle those guys. They were pretty good players, and they just, you know, took care of the Jazz.
Matt James says the Jazz almost played a full 240, one of the better games of the trip. Jazz just looked totally different. They've gotten much better. A lot of the questions are coming in about the reported trade in which the Jazz have traded Dante Exum with 2 second-round picks for Jordan Clarkson. Little limited on what we can say because we don't know. We have not had official word for the Jazz that the deal is true. So let me just comment on the best I can. Dante Exum, first off, just great kid. Want to wish him all the luck in the world. There's never been a day where you watch Dante where you didn't know why he was the 5th pick of the draft. He's such an incredible athlete. He's so long. He's so great defensively. But it's interesting where the Jazz were when they drafted him and where they are now. When they drafted him, they let him start. They gave him all these opportunities. They let him play through all his mistakes. Right now, he needs to play 25 minutes a night. There was no scenario with this group, 18 and 12, trying to win the West, where that he could get that time.
Yeah, and that you're totally right. He needs minutes on the floor. The Jazz are not in a position right now with the type of team that they built to give him that kind of minutes that you're talking about and let him play through mistakes and not being and work on his shooting and all those kind of things. And so this would be an opportunity for him to play on a team that can give me those type of minutes. He's a tremendous athlete, very good defensive player, but the Jazz now going to, if this trade is true and it's going to work out that way, Clarkson is a threat offensively anyway, something the Jazz need that can have a big night. I mean, he can score. He's averaging, 14, 15, 16 points a ball game there in Cleveland and getting about 26 minutes a ball.
So
24
he,
minutes a game.
So Jordan Clarkson's an interesting player. He's always been a big-time scorer. He scored a lot as a second-round draft pick on a bad Lakers team. I think his value got a little high in the league because he was putting up points in L.A., and so everyone thinks you're good even though you're on a bad team. He was pretty inefficient. He then went to Cleveland as part of, I don't remember what the deal was, but Larry Nance went in it also. So whatever that deal is, maybe it's, I don't think it was part of LeBron's signing trade, maybe. I don't think so. But nonetheless, in Cleveland, he's taking a little bit of a different role. And interestingly enough, this year he's altered his shot composition a little bit. He's taking much less pull-up jumpers, more catch and shoot. He's at about 40% catch and shoot this year. He's been at about 37% for his career. So those numbers work. He's shooting at an alarmingly high rate, like a usage rate, which would have to change a little bit with Utah. But he's a good offensive scorer. Defensively, he's only been okay throughout his career. Nothing like that at Dante, but he's a bucket getter. He can get his shot off. He can create some looks for himself. And it'll be interesting to see if this goes through, whether or not he really has changed his shot composition, because that's led to him to be a much more efficient player. One of our fans was asking about points gained. He's even, which is great. Like, if you want players that are positive, not negative, he's even, and that's the first time in his career he's been even as an offensive points game player.
And with Conley, you know, being down and not sure when he can get back 100% and be out there on the floor, the Jazz need that kind of a player. To, you know, just look at the amount of minutes that our starters had to play tonight. You know, Boyan only played 29 minutes, and that's because he had three fouls in their first quarter. But then you're looking at 35, 36, 37, 38, 39 minutes by these players. And so I think Clarkson will be one of those guys that can play a couple of positions and you know, keep some of the minutes down for some of those starters.
We'll be interested to see where he plays. I mean, and what where he gets minutes. The one thing I don't think the Jazz felt is as Moutier was playing better, that you could really play Exum and Moutier together because both of them are non-shooters. And so Clarkson, as a shooter, could play with Moutier a little bit more. So it'll be interesting to see what the Jazz do in that regard, if that deal, in fact, goes through. The second-round picks are reported to be San Antonio's and of 2022 and Golden State's in 2023. When we can confirm that, we will. We do not have confirmation on that. These are just off of reports. So the Jazz win streak comes to an end. A good game here in Miami. Really fun to watch these teams play. We'll get to do it. If you get a chance, get the tickets to see the Jazz play Miami when they come to town. I don't have the date right in front of me, but that would be one I would highlight. That'd be a great basketball game to come watch. Otherwise, we're home on the 26th and the 30th this week, and we look forward to seeing you at Vivint Smart Home Arena. Jazz fall to Miami. The win streak comes to an end.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays on behalf of Ron. We'll talk to you then.